This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. From about my brothers and sisters, the topic of my khutbah today is the other side. We live in a world today where, thanks to what and how news is presented, we have a very dark and dismal and depressing picture of our life and times. That is because only bad news sells. And in a profit-driven world ruled by predatory capitalist barons, nothing which doesn't make money can survive. Everything is evaluated, including human beings, on the basis of what is called net worth, which is how much money do they have. For example, the root cause of our environmental crisis is that when net worth is measured only in dollars, then wood, dead trees, has value, not live trees. So felling a forest makes profit, but leaving it untouched, it represents what is called unexploited opportunity. Having said that, let us see what the reality of our world is by comparing it to what it was 50 years ago. And that is less than one lifespan. I know we like to think of our past in very nostalgic and lovely terms, the good old days. And yes, indeed, there were many things in that which were good and which were worthy of whatever nostalgia we can feel about that today. But just to give you a comparison basis, take infant mortality, malnutrition, treatment for heart disease, running hot and cold water in the bathroom, in the showers, elevators, televisions, refrigerators, telephones, and 1,000 other conveniences that we take for granted today were either not there or in a very nascent stage, which today you can only see in a museum. My father, before the age of 40, had 3 heart attacks, for which the only treatment was rest. Angioplasty and bypass surgery had not been invented until then. Neither had cataract surgery been invented. In my city, Hyderabad, in India, one of the nobles of the Nizam, Nawab Fakhrul Mulk Bahadur, built a palace. He didn't live in it. It was used only for banquets and royal guests. He built a palace in 1870, which has 600 rooms. 150 of those rooms are furnished with Louis XVI furniture. Today, the cost of Louis XVI chairs ranges from $2,400 to $24,000 for one chair. I'm not saying that Fakhrul Bahadur paid that price, but he still paid a fortune. But that's not the point of my story. The point of my story is to ask you to think about this, that when you are standing in your shower with hot water raining down on your head, adjusted to just the right temperature that you like, reflect on the fact that this wonderful palace, with all its fortune of French furniture, didn't have a shower with hot and cold running water. It also doesn't have air conditioning, which in the summer in Hyderabad, when the temperature goes to 120 degrees Fahrenheit, is useful to have. Remember that money was not the issue. The technology didn't exist. Now go further back in history and look at all the great monarchs and their palaces and the luxury they lived in and all the stories that you hear, and you will realize that some of the most common and essential conveniences we are used to and believe that we can't do without them were not available to those who ruled entire nations. My question is, are we conscious of this? And do we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this? I remind myself anew that gratitude is the platform on which happiness runs. We all want to be happy. But how many of us are consciously grateful? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began his book with reminding us to be grateful. Allah said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All thanks and all praise is to Allah, the Rabb, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Maintainer, the Protector of the Alameen, of the entire universe. We read this ayah in every rakat of every salah. But do we contemplate it and count the number of things we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for? So, let's start right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا أَسَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Allah said in Surah Ibrahim, and He, Jalla Jalaluhu, granted you all that you asked Him for. If you try to count, just count. We're not even talking about thanking here, just counting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, you will never be able to number them. Indeed, humankind is truly unfair and totally ungrateful. I ask Allah to save us from this. Let us not be among the zalumun kafar. And then again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same surah, He said, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Allah said, and when your Rabb proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will certainly increase my blessing, give you more. But if you are ungrateful, surely my punishment is severe. I advise myself and you to make a list of the top 10 things. Actually make a list, sit down, write it with your hand. Top 10 things that we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And then do that in tahajjud. In sujood. Do this every day and see how your life gets transformed. See how your life gets transformed. Expressing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also to express it to those people in your life who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His blessings to you through. Parents, siblings, children, spouses, teachers, friends, grandchildren, many others. Do we thank them? Do we express our gratitude for what they do for us and how that impacts us? Just think of one of them and imagine life without them. For many of us, we cannot even imagine that. Yet, when they are with us, we take them for granted. Rasulullah ﷺ said about people who are ungrateful in the hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud, and Abi Hurairata radiallahu anhu, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يشكر الله من لا يشكر الناس. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever does not thank people has not thanked Allah. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم didn't tell us to wait until they are dead to thank them or say something good about them. Say it right away. After all, if they did something wrong, if they had done something wrong, or something you didn't like, you wouldn't hesitate to complain, would you? So why wait to thank and praise? Why wait to thank and praise? Rasulullah used to say good things and he would praise and thank his Sahaba all the time. And he said that in their presence or in the presence of those closest to them with the full knowledge that it would be conveyed to them. There are many stories. But let me quickly narrate for you a few of them. Now imagine how happy Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu must have felt when he was praying in Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif alone by himself reciting Quran. in Salah, and he felt the presence of somebody standing behind him. When he finished his Salah and he turned around, it was Rasulullah himself. And Rasulullah said to him how happy he was to hear him recite the Quran so beautifully. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu said, "Ya Rasulullah, if I knew that you were listening, I would have recited even longer." How he must have felt. Imagine how Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu must have felt when they told him, people told him that Rasulullah had said that when Shaitan sees Umar coming down a street, he changes direction and goes down a different street. Imagine how he must have felt. Imagine Usman radiallahu anhu bin Affan radiallahu anhu's pleasure when he was told that Rasulullah took the bayah on his behalf, what is called Baitul Ridwan in Hudaybiyah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَاعِيُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنْزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا وَمَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً يَأْخُذُونَهَا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with the believers when they pledged allegiance to you, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, under the tree. He knew, Jalla Jalaluhu, what was in their hearts. So He sent down serenity and tranquility upon them and rewarded them with a victory at hand, immediate victory. And many spoils of war will they gain. For Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. And that's why we Muslims do not criticize the Sahaba for anything they did. Because who are we to judge them? Those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He was pleased with them. Whatever they did is between them and Allah. Finally, imagine how Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu must have felt when he heard Rasulullah saying in Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif in his presence on the Thursday before the Monday when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. The Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif packed with the Sahaba. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness that I have fulfilled the rights of everyone and returned everyone's favor except that of Abu Bakr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward Abu Bakr on my behalf. How he must have felt. There are many more stories about the way Rasulullah ﷺ appreciated and encouraged those with him so that they loved him more than anything else and anyone else. The operative question is, what will I do differently starting today? Believe me, I have known people who have told me, and they told me, otherwise how would I know this? I have known people who said that we never made dua for our children. We never actually cried before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our children. We never actually kissed our children. We never hugged our adult children. We never hugged them. We never kissed them. Why? Why? Why are you so hard? Subhanallah. Please, soften up. My brothers and sisters, as I said, the operative question is, what will I do differently starting today? The only worthwhile purpose of learning is to apply it. That is what transformed the lives of the Sahaba, what they did, not only what they knew. The Sahaba obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands without hesitation. They didn't question the command of Allah or the way Rasulullah ﷺ taught them to obey that command. They heard and they obeyed. They said, Samana wa atana. Ghufranaka Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Forgive us, O Allah, to you is our return. No arguments. No hesitation. We spoke about worldly blessings for which we must express gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to those people who were instrumental in our receiving them. Now let's see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the reward in the Akhirah. Al-Bukhari and Muslim narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah said, relating from his Rabb Jalla Shanu, Allah decreed good deeds and bad deeds. Then he explained that whoever thinks of doing a good deed then does not do it, Allah will write it down as one complete good deed. If he thinks of doing a good deed and then does it, Allah will write it down between 10 and 700 times or many more. If he thinks of doing a bad deed, then he does not do it, Allah will write it down as one complete good deed. And if he thinks of it and then does it, Allah will write it down as one bad deed. Al-Bukhari and Muslim also narrated from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive my ummah for whatever crosses their mind so long as they do not act upon it or talk about it. Ibn Rajab radiallahu anhu said, these texts refer to four matters: the recording of good deeds and bad deeds, and thinking of good deeds and bad deeds. Four things. Then he said, the third matter, which is thinking of good deeds, it is recorded as one complete good deed, even if he does not do it. As it says in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and elsewhere. In the hadith of Khuraym bin Fatik radiallahu anhu, it says, if a person thinks of doing a good deed, but then does not do it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that he thought of it and was keen to do it, he records for him one good deed. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. This indicates that what is meant by thinking of here is the determination and resolve that are present when one is keen to do an action. Not merely a passing thought that is not accompanied by any resolve or determination. Abu Darda al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he said that if a person, for example, goes to bed intending to pray during the night in Qiyam, he's went to bed intending to wake up for Tahajjud, but he slept, sleep overtakes him until morning, what he intended to do will be recorded for him. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Tahajjud easy for us and to bless us with Tahajjud. It was narrated that Sa'id bin Musayyib radiallahu anhu said, if a person thinks of fasting or praying, going for Hajj or Umrah and so on, but he is prevented from doing that, Allah will grant him the reward of what he intended. If the intention is accompanied by words or effort, the reward is ensured, and the one who intended it is like the one who does it. As Abu Kabsha radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah said, people in this world are of four types. A person to whom Allah grants wealth and knowledge, so he fears his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu with regard to it, meaning that he uses that knowledge and spends that wealth only in things which please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He upholds his ties of kinship with it and acknowledges the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning it, meaning that he spends it only where Allah has decreed, and he is of the highest status. The second is a person to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants knowledge, but he does not grant him wealth. So he is sincere in his intention and he says, if I had wealth, I would do the same as the first one, so and so. And he will then be rewarded according to his intention, and their reward will be the same. Number three, the third type, is a person to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants wealth, but he does not grant him knowledge. So he squanders his wealth without knowledge. He does not fear his Rabb concerning it, meaning he uses it for halal, haram, everything. He does not uphold his ties of kinship with it, and he does not acknowledge the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning it, meaning he is disobedient with it. He is of the worst status. And the fourth type is a person to whom Allah does not grant either wealth or knowledge. So he says, if I had wealth, I would do the same as so and so. He will be requited and rewarded according to his intention, and their burden of sin will be the same. Now the phrase, their reward will be the same, means that they are equal regarding the basic reward for the action, not regarding the multiplication of that reward. So if a person actually does something, he will get between 10 to 700 and more. But a person just intends, and this is written, it is written for him, he gets only one. The multiplication of the reward is, multiplication of the reward is only for the one who does a deed, not the one who intends it, but does not do it. But the one who intends it, and he could not do it for circumstances beyond his control, he will still get the reward of the good deed. Or in the case of evil, the evil deed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to purify our intentions and to spend our time and resources in doing only what pleases Him Jalla Shanu, and stay away from everything else which is either a waste of time or a means of earning His displeasure. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.